Well, you know that it's going to be alright. I think it's gonna be alright. Everything will always be alright when we go shopping. Well, you know that it's going to be.
Hello, shoppers. Welcome to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, a place where we reveal ourselves. We are no longer secret. Of course, we haven't really been secret at any point in our shopping histories. How do we secret shop? We secret shop with our wallets. As I tell my trainees all the time, listen, you're not looking for a guy coming into the store with a cape, you know, like the Green Hornet, and then on the back of the cape it says, "Hi, I'm a secret shopper, treat me nice." No. All of us are secret shoppers. We judge with our wallets. Hope you're having a wonderful shopping experience this morning, this Memorial Day extended holiday weekend. My name is Johnny Wright, your host this morning. Coming up on the program, we're going to talk with Greg Mahon. He is a family consultant to the Varsity Theater, and it's a fascinating story if you know any of the backstory of the Varsity Theater. I believe it was built in the early 30s. It is one of Iowa's oldest movie theaters, perhaps the oldest. And Bev Mahon, who is the father, the late father of Greg Mahon, longtime owner of the Varsity Theater, just has a fascinating history of the Mahon family and how they've kept that theater not only surviving as the corporate monolithic theaters have been built around them, but they're also thriving. And so it's a wonderful story. You're going to enjoy it. That's coming up on the program. Also, how much do you think you really know about customer service? Well, we all know a lot. A lot of this stuff is instinctual. It makes sense to us that someone should smile at us when we go into a store, that they should greet us, engage us. But how each of us defines that can be very different depending on gender and age and experience and everything. And so there are left-brained rules that go with this stuff. And we're going to look at actually a blog post I put up, the Customer Service Quiz 2, which indicates there was a first one. Yes, there was one kind of back in the beginning of the start of the Unsecret Shopper, which is a blog, which was started as an idea, a concept that one of the things, the pieces that's missing from our overall shopping experience is steady, consistent training of the employees that engage us in retail. And who's looking out, who's minding that part of the store? Who's looking out for you and me when we go in to make sure we have that great customer service experience? That's what the Unsecret Shopper is all about. Today's Memorial Weekend weather forecast. Yeah, I wonder if we have a sponsor for this. You know, maybe Target. I'm going to call their corporate. I'll do that later. Sunshine in 86 today. We'll drop down to 63 tonight. A sunny Sunday, then a 20% chance of thunderstorms later in the afternoon. It says right after 1 p.m., so around 1:01, you definitely want to have everything like covered up at the picnic and so forth. 84 for Sunday's high. Sunday night, a better shot of T-storms in 58, then up to 79 and sunny on Memorial Day Monday. Back to work, very pleasant, 77 in sunshine right now. It's 66 degrees and our secret shopper review from Thursday. And every week, I randomly select a business or a business category, and I will secret shop that business, and then I'll write a review up and then post it on Thursday at the Unsecret Shopper. If you want to read the blog, you just go to Google and write The Unsecret Shopper. It'll bring it right up. This week's review was of the movie theaters in Des Moines. And you may be saying, you know, that's kind of low-hanging fruit there, Johnny boy, you know. And again, should we have expectations when we go into a movie theater, which is predominantly run by employees who are in their teens and 20s, people a little wet behind the ears, maybe haven't had a lot of experience in the job world consistently. And so should we have any expectation of them to deliver on what I call the five pillars, or in their case, really four pillars of customer service, which are: number one, smile. Number two, greet. Number three, engage. Number four, thank. And each one of those four pillars of customer service have little subplots that go with them. So should we have that expectation of when we go to see the movies? And I think we absolutely should. Movie owners and theater managers all spend a lot of time and money building these beautiful facades of metal and plastic and light bulbs and marquees. And you know how much those movie posters and those big displays cost? It's outrageous. They can cost up way upwards of $1,000 for the studios to build those. And then, like, you know, for the late show, someone will just carry the thing off, take it home, think it's funny, take a picture of it, and then throw it away. So don't do that. So you're spending all this investment in money and infrastructure in a movie theater. Isn't it logical to expect the employees to rise up to the occasion, to bring us as good of an experience before we go in, to set the tone, set the plate for us as we go in to have this wonderful movie experience? Hopefully, it depends on the film we're seeing, as the movie makers intended us to see. I went and spent a Tuesday, which is pretty much discount movie day in Des Moines, of which most of the theaters have a discount. Not all of them, but many do, because I'm on a budget. You know, I'm an unsecret shopper on a budget. You can look at the mask I have in my photo. It's kind of a cheap mask, frankly. I'm looking maybe to move up in mask quality. And I started at the Winsong Theaters, which are part of the Carmike Cinema chain. And that is the predominant chain in Des Moines. You've got Carmike, Cinemark, Fridley. You've got the Fleur, and I apologize. I'm not sure the company. Well, it may just be, maybe, I don't know. Anyway, it's the Fleur Theaters, which is privately owned. That may not be true. Let me check on that. And then you've got the Mahon family, who owns the Varsity. So those are the basic owners and the players in this. So I started at the movie theater in Johnston at the Winsong. And the one thing I can tell you consistently, no matter, almost regardless of the theater I went to, was that I was greeted almost identically each and every time. First of all, going to the ticket window, as we all do, to get our ticket. And the person would say, hello. And that was really it. That was really it for the greeting. And say, okay, you know, you take your ticket. Maybe there would be a thank you. Maybe there wouldn't be. Or maybe there'd be an enjoy your show. And so, okay, take your ticket, roll on in. Time to go to the concession stand. Because you can't, you know, you're not going to go sit through a two-hour flick with a little popcorn in your hand and a little soda pop in your belly. It's just not going to happen. So you go to the concession stand, as I did. And sometimes the person would, behind the counter, would wait and just wait for me to give in my order. Or sometimes they would say, would you like to try the large combo today? Or would you like, it's only 50 cents more. Or, you know, that we got, you can get 10 gallons of popcorn for just $5.99. Or if you get the extra 10 gallons, it's only an additional $1.99. You know, they're pitching, right? They're going to their pitch, which is what they've been trained to do, the employees behind the snack counter. Okay, fine, you know, you order your thing, and then you go in, and often there is someone to take your ticket. Tuesdays, not necessarily all the time, but often there's that third person you're going to encounter. So you've got three opportunities for customer service: ticket counter, concession stand, and ticket taker. And what I can say is that there's a lot of room and a lot of opportunity for improvement with all of the theaters that I secret shopped. There are a few exceptions. I want to get to those. Winsong Theaters, Cobblestone Theaters. Again, the greeting was consistent. You got the hello. You didn't get the smile. The first time I got a smile, and I have to say I was surprised about this, was the Century 20 at the Jordan Creek Mall. And the reason I'm surprised is because the last time I had been out there, and I've spoken about this on this show numerous times, it was a less than stellar experience. First of all, I just want to say this, the matinee times and specials end at 1:30. So any movie at the Century 20 after 1:30 is considered, I guess, an evening show. And, I don't, maybe over in a lot of countries, nighttime starts about 2 p.m. But here in the good old U.S. of A., frankly, my nighttime starts later. So that was always sort of an irritant for me. Plus, the customer service back in, I believe, February when I was in there, just really blew, to be real honest with you. So I just said, I'm not going to go back, you know. So, but this time, as part of the science and as part of delivering you this information on the secret shopper reviews, I thought, all right, I'll go back in. And I got to tell you, it blew me away in a good way. The person at the ticket counter, I believe her name was Annie, was good and pleasant and actually had a bit of a smile, sort of the first time I saw that. But it was Eddie. Eddie delivered big time. And what I think, and I may just be full of total ego and the Lord's going to say, listen, you're an egomaniac and I'm going to prove to you how dumb that is here in just a few minutes. But I believe maybe something that I said, or maybe other people complained about the customer service or level of it. In any event, it was really clear to me that those employees have been through some level of customer service training since the last time I was in. It was clearly evident, and it was no more so clear than when Eddie, who took my ticket, and normally at the Century Theaters, if you think about it, you'll go into an expansive lobby area, then through two sort of snack counter aisles, which is around one main hub, and then there are two ways you can go, left or right, into the theaters are sort of cordoned off, I guess 10 to the left and 10 to the right, more or less. And each of those 10, there'll be a ticket taker at each point leading you into that hallway of theaters. Well, in that day's case, it was just one guy sort of at a podium before you even entered the large commons area, before you even got to the snack bar, and that guy was Eddie. And he said, "Welcome to the Century 20 Theaters. Blah, blah, blah. Thank you. I hope you enjoy the show, and thank you for coming to the movie." I mean, the guy was just off the hezal, as they used to say about 15 years ago. Great. Great smile, very engaging, completely unexpected. That was awesome. And then it continued. At the snack bar, the gentleman said, "What can I get you today?" It wasn't, "Can I help you?" and any of those other benign, closed-ended questions. It was this nice, big, juicy, beautiful, "What can I get for you?" The rules of retail apply in all areas that are places that we shop. Theaters should have the same level of customer service as any, as a car dealer, as a store, as a restaurant, it doesn't matter. They should be delivering on customer service. And so Century 20 really did. And I was very thankful to see that someone is doing it properly. As for my experience at the Fleur, it was okay. There was a technical issue going on there, and they sort of lost sight of me. And I'm going to get to a response to that here in just a minute, a couple different responses. And then later on, the worst experience was at the end of the evening, and it was evening by this time. I did all of these in the same day, was at the Nova. And the Nova is a discount theater on Merle Hay Road, and it really needs to stay that way. This is why. At 7:30 is the last showtime for the Nova Cinemas, and it was on that particular day. Several movies started at 7:30. You and I know that typically there are at least 15 minutes of previews leading up to a film. Now, that's not true at all theaters. The Fleur and the Varsity stand out as exceptions to that. But even then, sometimes you'll get multiple trailers, which is fine. We all understand how the game is played. So getting to the Nova Cinemas at around 7:55, actually a little before that, it's reasonable to expect that the doors would still be open. In fact, it's reasonable to expect the doors would be open, period. Because as a moviegoer, hey, listen, if I want to throw down $5 to see a movie that's an hour in progress, you know what? That ought to be my right. That's part of retail. Well, I was shocked when I went into the doors to basically run into them because they were both locked at the Nova Cinemas. And then I stepped back and finally realized there were two closed signs on either door. "We're closed." It wasn't, "Oh, sorry, we're closed. Come back again." Because there are signs, closed signs. It's like, you know, "Thank you, come again." No, just, "We're closed." You know, I mean, why even put the signs up, for heaven's sake? So that really bad job out of the Nova Cinemas from a customer service standpoint. I would say the two exemplary examples of customer service occurred with the Century, which to me is the corporate monolithic Cinemark movie theater in town, and at the Varsity, the locally owned by the Mahan family. Incredible smile and engagement by both Greg and his sister Denise, and you're going to hear from Greg in just a moment. So what's interesting, this dichotomy, these two apparently opposite places, one huge corporate, one locally owned and small, both delivering on great customer service. And so it can be done and it should be done. Here's some reader responses from the blog post I wrote on Thursday of Des Moines Theaters. It says, "I read your blog entry and I appreciate the comments and observations made about our staff and facility. They were very helpful and will be pointed out in entirety to my staff. Thank you, John Peterson, General Manager of the Fleur Cinema and Cafe," which is very nice to get that. From the Carmike Cinemas, and again, when I write these reviews, I also send them to the corporate entities or the local entities and give them a chance to respond. This came from Carmike Cinemas. "The following comment has been received by Carmike Cinemas. Please allow 3 to 5 business days for us to respond accordingly. Love, Carmike Cinemas." It kind of sounds like they're going to deliver me something. You know, 3 to 5 days, for heaven's sakes. What is that? Is that ground? Is that Pony Express? Come on, man. Churn it and burn it. 24 hours. Let's go. So in any event, we'll see what kind of response I get from Carmike, and no word yet from, I guess, Cinemark, but they do have the stuff, and you're going to hear an extended response and a very interesting backstory from Greg Mahan. He is a family consultant for the Varsity Theater. It's one of the oldest theaters in town. You're going to hear a fascinating interview with him next on not only customer service, but the movie industry in general. All that coming your way. You're listening to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show on 1350 KRNT. Good morning.
Let your hair down and relax. Mr. and Mrs. Businessman, there you go, or woman, if the case may be. You're listening to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show on 1350 KRNT. Thank you for tuning in this Saturday morning into the Memorial Holiday weekend. We rock and roll. Yes, tater salad. I can smell that in the fridge. I hope you don't have it out yet. Yeah, come on, because seriously, it's going to be warm today. There's mayonnaise in there. You know what can happen. Eggs. You know what? The whole family gets that food poison. Oh, boy, that's a mess. Yes, enjoy yourself out there, and please drive safe. Have fun, for heaven's sake. Coming up, we're going to have fun with the customer service quiz. Challenge your knowledge of all things that have to do with how employees engage consumers. One of the more engaging people I have met in my travels doing secret shopping is Greg Mahon. And the Mahon family is one that you probably have read about, heard about. They are longtime owners of the Varsity Theaters, one of the oldest theaters in Iowa. And Greg is the son of the late Bev Mahon, who owned, of course, the Varsity Theater for many years. Greg joins us this morning. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Greg, the idea of being sort of immersed in the world of cinema for people who really like movies, like I do, has a real allure to it. But did it start for you at an early age? And was there a particular moment or seminal moment or a film you saw that you said, wow, I love the movies? Or just kind of talk about that.
It was definitely at an early moment. It was when I was a youngster, about 6 years old. I think when, obviously, my father was in the business and my mother was a former burker, and that's how they met. It's just been around me my whole life. It's been in the blood. I think working kiddie matinees in the Southside Holiday Theater as a kid, that's what really caught my attention as far as seeing the effort and work you put through, seeing kids enjoy themselves. So kiddie matinees, then the one film that always sticks out of my mind is Dr. Zhivago in the mid-60s, as far as they used to have roadshow attractions where you had reserve seats and stuff. So I've seen a lot of changes as far as the genre of pictures going from pretty, let's call it middle of the road to more, call it profanity, sexual situations, that type of stuff. So it's been a kind of a diverse, range of years.
Did you, when you were a kid, did you like to put on, were you theatrical? Did you like to put on puppet shows or get the whole neighborhood gang around and do theater stuff?
No, I think I was more just interested in helping my family, help my dad out, and doing the behind-the-scenes stuff. That's that stuff appealed to me more. It was not in the front, because do you remember Bill Riley?
Oh, I tried out for the talent sprouts when I was a kid on the piano.
The
sure.
Once, but he would host the programs on Saturday, the kiddie shows he would have. And I remember my father telling me how he would go to various schools around Des Moines and put out the flyers to attract kids in there, and he'd maybe get chased off the grounds a few times by the principals and stuff. But Bill Riley, I just think that's what sticks my mind the most, is back in the 60s with the kiddie shows, and you could do birthday parties there, that type of stuff too.
Let's talk about your father, Bev, and how he got involved. Well, actually, let's backtrack before that. When was the Varsity built?
I think it was built in about 1935.
I've read some stuff about it, just vagaries on that. There's some great websites about the history of the Varsity. It is the oldest theater in Iowa, is that correct?
I wouldn't say that for certain, but I think it's right up there. I don't have certainty on that, but it's right up there.
And so your father came in into what, work there, and then eventually manage and purchase it? Tell me about that process.
It's a little bit better than that, but when he was a youngster, and he was born in, it was 22, I think it was Moreau, Iowa, he was attracted to even silent films back then. So as a youngster, he would go to the theater, he would put the signs on the telephone poles, he would spread out the playbills, he would just always, at a very young age, he enjoyed the cinema. And then it progressed into started, you know, working. I think he worked for Paramount before he went into the war. And then afterwards, I think he just had that. It was always a joke in the family. He never wanted to take another order again, nor did he want to do anything with the Italians. He married an Italian lady, by the way. So he it's just something he enjoyed tremendously. And I think he always enjoyed watching people leave his theater with a smile on their face. Or one neat view, though, too, is when you're in the projection booth, you can look down and see how your patrons are enjoying a film. Mm-hmm. So it was just, he just really enjoyed it. And one of the funny things with him, too, if you were watching a movie like on Turner Classics, he would always just see the film and start tell me who produced it, who directed it, what year it came out, how well it did. So I'd always say, Dad, I just want to hear the ending myself. So he just, it was just one of those things in his blood.
Was it sort of hard for you being around someone who knew so much about film to just be able to relax and just enjoy the emotional component of being in the movie?
No, it was. He just simply loved what he did. He really did. So, and one thing about the business side, though, you learn at a very early age, it's kind of like a roller coaster ride. You can have films that do phenomenal. You can have films that are very, very quiet as far as the revenue aspect. So you learn that early age that it is very important to take care of whether it's one customer or 500 customers. And just that simple, because you only get that one opportunity to leave that impression with them.
We are talking with Greg Mahon. He is a family consultant for the Varsity Theaters in Des Moines. Talk about your dad's work. This is before he went off to war. He worked for Paramount?
Right.
Talk about that a little bit. What did he do for Paramount?
I think he did bookings for Paramount and other, call it administrative tasks. And then when he was drafted, he went overseas, and he was with the earthquake bomb, and that was the atomic bomb. And then one cool thing about this, I remember he was always seeing this lady's name in the box office magazine, which is a trade industry publication, Zora Finney. So he told himself overseas, he goes, I really want to meet that lady one of these days. So when he came back from the war, he did meet that lady and ended up marrying her.
Isn't that amazing? What an amazing love story. Oh, my gosh. What a fantastic.
Yeah, it is a neat story. You know, it's just one of these deals. He goes, a woman with a name like that, he goes, I got to meet her. and my mother's off to my left side here. And she, you know, again, it was just, they're definitely two characters married together for about 60 years. She was a high-octane Italian. He was kind of a low-key Irishman. So.
And the rest, as they say, is movie history, except it's real life.
Right, but, right.
Well, after your father came back from the war, he eventually came into work at the Varsity. Talk about that journey.
Well, he did. What he did is that his first place was in Pella, Iowa. He had a theater down there, and then he worked with, in conjunction with Bob Fridley, Fridley Cinemas, and they had a partnership for a few years there, too. So he, after the war, he worked for Paramount for a while. Then he went off into his own. He was married in 1950, and he had a theater down in Pella. Then about, I think, 6 years later, they moved up to Des Moines, and he got involved with the Varsity and the Holiday Theater.
What was the allure of and movies and the movie-making process? Did he see owning a theater as his best way to be close to the industry?
Yeah, but I think he just enjoyed a good story. And I mentioned earlier Turner Classic Movies, and you can tell back then that they told a tremendous story without a lot of special effects. It was just all in the script. And his favorite subject in school was always English. I mean, he was quite the proficient writer. He liked to do his own ads and stuff. So I think just this aspect, he had the privilege of telling a good story to people. That's the thing that really got him going.
Would he often tell, I mean, what did he like watching or telling stories more? Obviously, he liked watching film. What was he, a storyteller?
Yeah, he was really good about storytelling. He was really good about that, but he just, I just think he would hold court with my friends growing up too, but he just had, you know, he had a good memory, and he, until the moment he left here, he just had, you know, a lot of people in the business was just amazed at his recollection, but he was a good storyteller.
Did your family often have debates when you were growing up about the veracity or about the, about certain films, about whether they were good or not, or about different camera angles or what did that
I
ever...
would do that as far as the booth when you would see a film for maybe 20, 30, 40 times. I would maybe look for the hidden, you know, like the boom mic or the hidden mic, something like that. And I would look at definitely different camera angles too, though. But I think, again, growing up in the business, and I mentioned to you when I met you the other day, is that there's this great balance of working together and then living together. And so I think you were more concerned about, you know, how the film was doing, and you definitely want to show a good product too.
Absolutely. We're talking with Greg Mahon. He is a family consultant for the Varsity Theaters of Des Moines, one of the oldest theaters in Iowa. Greg, did you ever feel like you had a choice? I mean, was it ever a choice between I run the projector or I go out and play baseball, for example?
No, I think, you know, again, I enjoyed working. And I remember in high school, I was working three jobs. One was at the Valor Ballroom, one was at the theater, and one was having a paper out. So I think I always enjoyed working. And you realize, too, that Dad had to get a night off to, and just to get away to. So I enjoy that aspect. I always enjoyed earning money and helping out.
Talk about his entree into the varsity. How did that start? When did it start?
Again, it was probably right in the middle of the 1950s, and then Bob Prilly pretty much ran it until the early 70s, and then they had a they just separated business, and he took it over in the mid 70s.
And so I believe 1975, is that what I read?
Roughly, yeah, about 1975.
And I think, I mean, and this is, I'm 45, but I think for my money, the 70s is the best, is for me the best decade of film. And I know that that's obviously a debate we won't go into here, but was it frightening for him to go off sort of, it sounds like on his own? I mean, he owned the theater at that time?
Yes, he owned the theater, and again, he always had the Holiday Theater. And one thing my father was always good about, he would always help out quietly behind the scenes. He would always help out small people in rural Iowa with their screens, or help them try to get pictures or things like that too, financial support also. So he did that, and he had a complex in Sioux City for quite a few years, and then he had some properties in Omaha for a few years, and then after Bob and Friendly and him went their different ways, he hooked up with an Abbott Schwartz out of Minneapolis, who was a really good tag team partner as far as booking and covering other bases of the business.
The kinds of films that came to the varsity, or that he would select to come to the varsity, talk about his selection process.
I think a lot of it was just that, I think you always got to do your intel, kind of talk. He would have a connection with other independents throughout the country, and he would get feedback from them, and they would trade notes. And then you're also seeing how things, usually most films are open on both coasts, and you kind of will see how they're doing revenue-wise. And it doesn't mean since it did good in New York or Los Angeles, it's going to do good in Des Moines. But he wanted films people could think about. I mean, giving something to think about. He wasn't interested in car chases or something like that, too. But you're right about the 70s. That's when things really started changing as far as a lot more violence, a lot more action in films, just films just went covered all aspects of life too.
So it sounds like for him, he wanted movies on the screen that he liked.
Right, and too, though, he had patrons that thought the same way he did too. And he got picky what he played.
We haven't talked about customer service, and there's a connection to all this, and sort of what brought you and I together, and I want to sort of bring that up here, and that I remember seeing movies at the Varsity at a very young age, and I was only 4 or 5, and sort of sleeping through them, of course, because they held no interest to me. But I remember that being the mecca of what I would consider the sort of the artistic films. Whenever an artistic movie came into Des Moines, that was where you went to see it. And that theater had that reputation way back. Was that sort of a negative too, in the sense of maybe it drove some people away from seeing good movies because they thought it was sort of hoity-toity?
I don't think so. I think there's been always that audience out there who wants to see that type of film. Again, I think mainstream films was maybe never his cup of tea. I mean, he's played them and stuff, but I don't think it's hoity-toity. I just think it was it was an audience out there in Des Moines that really wanted to see this stuff, and they supported by buying tickets.
Let's talk about specifically customer service. And you obviously saw your dad interact with patrons and how he engaged them and greeted them. And how did watching him on that level influence sort of what you bring to the table and what the Varsity does now from a customer service level?
One thing my dad liked to do, he loved to tease people. I mean, again, there's a lot of regulars, loyal customers there, and he would love to tease people. He knew and it's people from all walks of life, too, though. So he was very quick with the wit. So I saw that. He liked the joke, but he would always ask kind of zinger questions to keep people on his toes. So I think that's always stuck with me, too. And again, he enjoyed engaging with the customers because, again, in the theater business, when you're selling tickets and you're seeing the fruits of labor right in front of you as far as the revenue aspect.
Is there the theaters, and I assume you occasionally go to other theaters besides your own to see a movie that you may not be showing on your own screen, but is there a have we lost something in that customer service aspect? Do theater owners and managers depend too much on the experience that theater goers are going to have without taking care of them on the way into the theater?
I think you hit a good spot there right there too, because usually most theaters you go to, it's a younger working crowd, and there's some very good young workers out there too, but it's more robotic in their approach, and it's more of an assembly line. You don't see them engaging people. So, yeah, I think it's been lost. And then, too, a lot of people just simply like to talk film after they're done viewing it, too. And I try to make it a point when I'm on duty is to, you know, just thank them for showing up. And we're talking a little film about them, too, because people are really curious, you know, how booking works, that type of thing, too. So I think as far as engaging the customer, it's not there at other places.
Is there a movie that comes to mind you say, you know what, we probably shouldn't have shown that one?
I think there's probably quite a few. You got expectation. The classic one that maybe I'll just go the opposite way. He should have shown. Do you remember Pulp Fiction?
Oh, of course.
It did. I mean, I got a kick out of it, but it wasn't BC's. He thought it was too profane, too violent for his customers, and that thing, it did phenomenal business. But he always kind of kicks himself for not playing it. But he thought taking care of his regular customers is more important than just being the greed factor. So I always respected him on that.
Is there, and Greg, for anyone who is a movie fan as you are, as I am, this is a hard question. I get asked it a lot. I'm sure you do too. Is there a movie that maybe wasn't, I say, is your favorite, but maybe is transcendent, that sticks out in your mind along the journey of films you have seen over the years?
I remember North Dallas 40 always just kind of stuck in my mind. I just liked how they talked about the business of football, and I've seen that film, many, many times. But that one stuck with me. But he had a Scottish film that he played in the 80s. It's kind of slipping my memory right now, but being in Scotland a few times myself, it was just a phenomenal film.
Well, Greg, it was a pleasure to meet you last week as I was on a secret shopping journey through all of the theaters in Des Moines, and it was my great pleasure to report that I was smiled at and greeted and engaged by you and your sister Denise when I came to the theater, and then I sort of let the cat out of the bag and let you know what I was up to. I hope you've had a chance to read the Secret Shopper review from last week. It was a great thrill to come in and be greeted as I was, and I know you do that with other patrons, and so they get a wonderful engagement before they go into the movie, and then they get the wonderful experience of the film itself. So thank you for providing so many great movies that otherwise would never be seen in the Des Moines area over all these years.
No, you're welcome, and thanks. And again, it was just amazing because I heard your program a couple of weeks ago in the parking lot of a fitness facility, and I said, man, this man's onto something as far as what you're talking about, the customer experience. And I think people vote with their money, and I think these people you have in the front lines, whether it's taking tickets or taking popcorn, they're your revenue producers or enhancers, and so how they treat people is going to make a huge difference. It's not always about the product. It's if people feel at home there, they feel comfortable. Because when people go see a film, they want to relax and entertain. They don't want to be hassled. They don't want to see any, just grumpy face, nothing like that. I think that's really, really important. They want to have fun.
Absolutely. That last sentence, you hit it out of the park. And I'm going to give you a last second here. What is the film showing at the Varsity for tonight? If people want to, they've got Memorial Day stuff going on, but yeah, sometimes they want to escape and go see some. What do you got playing tonight?
It's Sex and the City. It's the second, call it the second edition of it. And it's all the regular cast members from the first one. And it debuted last night to a pretty good greeting of people and stuff. So come out and see us. And we got matinees each day, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at 1:30. And then we got our regular shows each evening.
Have you seen it?
Not yet. No, I haven't.
Has Denise seen it?
Yes, she did. She saw it. She enjoyed it with my sister. Because for people in the business, you're allowed to. They will run screenings anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks in advance. It's a rough cut usually, but you're allowed to kind of see some of the product. And that's more for maybe mainstream films, which this is. But for other, you usually got a good chance to see something in advance most of the time.
Greg, we appreciate your time. We appreciate all the and it's a labor of love, I know, for you and your family, the Mayon family, and what your father put together and what you have followed in his footsteps. And we thank you so much for making the Varsity continue on in all of our lives. It's a very important part of our movie history in Des Moines, so thank you.
Well, thank you for the good work you're doing. I enjoyed your blog site, and I enjoyed your program and keep up the good work, because I think it's so important that people realize how those people with the customer interaction, that is just huge. And I am very, very sensitive when I visit other places too, as far as just the importance of that, just feeling warm when you're like that.
Thank you, Greg Mahon, for joining us this morning. And he said some things that are really, really so important there when he said people vote with their money. And we talked about that earlier in the morning about secret shoppers, or how do they vote, or how do they secret shop with their wallets. So, yeah, it's not rocket science, although Local Hero was the movie that Greg was referencing, the Scottish film. And I think it's interesting that, Greg, North Dallas 40 is Greg's sort of film, is sort of the transcendent film or litmus, or one that he mentioned, he remembers. And he's also talking about, you know, watching Sex in the City too. And I said, listen, Greg, man, we gotta, you know, I guess you gotta take out, just rough you up and throw dirt on you or something, man. Anytime you think you want to see Sex in the City too and you're a dude, you need to lay down till that feeling passes. I don't care if you own the theater or not. Movie's such a big part of our life. One memory I have to share with you is my first memory, period, as a child, is of my mother looking into my face and getting me to quiet down during Funny Girl, which was showing at River Hills. 69, I guess, was the year for it. And I remember thinking recently, well, it was Barbara Streisand was screaming her head off, you know, standing at the front of a ship. She was singing her lungs out. You can't sleep when Babs is belting one out, you know? And then during Midnight Cowboy, she also tried to get me to fall asleep, which I would not cooperate then either. Coming up, customer service quiz. We'll see, we'll test your knowledge on this Memorial Day holiday weekend. Plus, coming up next, reader response. Very, very interesting response to a secret shopping review I did at the Jordan Creek Mall. And I'm going to read that to you and respond to it as well. You are listening to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show on 1350 KRNT. So the way you're going to stay in business is to take care of business, and nothing more important than your business than your customers that you're serving. The Unsecret Shopper Radio Show continues this Saturday morning at 8:42 with Johnny. Customer service quiz questions and answers on the way before the top of the hour at 9 o'clock. And it's a reader response from the Unsecret Shopper review I did about the Jordan Creek Mall. And no secret shopping review that I've done, other than perhaps, well, that wasn't a review, when I did the profile on John, who works for the Walnut Creek Y, and sort of went global, and we had just hundreds of email responses to that one. But since that one, no other review has generated more passionate response than the review I did of the Jordan Creek Mall. And I got through about, I believe, 23 stores in one day, and so there's a lot more left at the mall. Yeah, I think that it would behoove me to go back, and I like being behooved. But this is a response I recently received from Peter Sherinian. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. He is an employee at Joseph A. Bank, which is a fine men's clothing store at the Jordan Creek Mall, and one of the stores that I did secret shop in that review. And the review for the particular experience I had there was not entirely positive. And in fact, at some point during my stop there, I sort of let the kitty out of the bag and told Pete, hey, I'm a secret shopper. I'm doing this and that and the other thing. And so we had this conversation about the importance of customer service. And so this morning I want to read to you a response I got from Peter, because I think it's extremely informative and interesting. He says, I find your comments about my store, Joseph A. Bank, interesting. First of all, I noticed you come into the store right away, and I noticed you walked very quickly behind some of our on-floor shelving. And just, I want to clarify some points. This is not like shopping at Menards. In other words, you're not going to get lost behind shelving. And it's not that particularly large of a store. And so what Peter is saying, I don't mean to speak for him, was that I walked around him while he was having a conversation with another patron, as I would always do at any store that I would go in. Let me tell you something. We don't shop as shoppers by walking right up to people working in stores and saying, hi, I'm a shopper, help me. It doesn't work that way. And particularly if you're a man, that rarely do you actually say help me in any regard. It's not the way we shop. In fact, we tend to be like opposite poles of magnets. Watch how people enter stores where there are personnel or employees working. They will typically walk around them, right? Because we want to go look at stuff. Now, we're there because we're looking often for something in particular. We want to buy something. There's all those other things. So the idea that I'm, quote unquote, avoiding people in a retail setting is not true. I'm simply, I'm going to make you come find me. I'm going to make you come get me. And there are a lot of people in retail who do not do that. They wait for customers to come to them. And that's a whole nother show. I pick it back up here. When you did come out from behind them, I made eye contact with you right away and said hi, and he and I will disagree on that point. That did not happen, according to my review and according to my recollection, but we'll just agree to disagree. Perhaps you did not hear me. That was within 10 seconds, and I may not have. Very, very true, but it's a small store, and of course I'm listening for things as a secret shopper. That was within 10 seconds of you coming into the open. Exactly. It sounds like this guy's got a 12-gauge shotgun and he's sitting up inside a tree in camo gear. And I suddenly appeared and he started blasting. I could not leave my customer because I was trying to solve a customer service problem. Absolutely understood. And that's the other issue that employees have. It's a true challenge. You're engaging a customer on the floor. You're engaging a customer on the phone. Where does your attention go? And this is something we address a lot in customer service training. The idea is that no one gets within your radar on the floor as an employee without you acknowledging them verbally and physically. That means you say, hi, hello, wave a hand, I'll be with you in just a moment. Absolutely. Everybody gets your acknowledgement. We're all multitask. Listen, this is the age of iPods and cell phones and TVs and computers and reading books. And like a lot of other stuff. So we're used to multitasking, all right? I used to watch my mother put on mascara, drive the car and eat a burrito and tell me to shut up in the passenger seat all at the same time. So clearly this can be done and needs to be done in order for customers to feel welcome into any store. From there, depending on your response, we would have a conversation as opposed to my instantly trying to sell you something you don't need or are not interested in. Part of my job is to discover your needs and wants. That can't be done without a two-way conversation. Absolutely, understood. I also like to provide my customers with information on the Joseph A. Bank Company. Since you were new to the store and I realized you were shopping my store, in other words, the inference is that he realized that I was a secret shopper. He knew I was not. He's saying he knew I wasn't shopping the store just on my own volition, that I was there for a purpose. If Peter knew that, he did not divulge that during our conversation that we had before I left. I did not want to interrupt that experience since we have lots of very interesting merchandise. So I'm not sure if he thought I was a secret shopper or he realized that I was shopping his store and didn't want to interrupt that. Okay. I did not want to deprive you of that experience. Again, let me tell you something. I can buy stuff anywhere, and so can you, and you do. You go online, internet shopping is exploding. Why? Because people don't engage us, or when they do engage us, it makes us feel, what was the stat I told you about a month ago, the recent national retail survey of women 50 and over, more women in that age group are going online to do clothes shopping. And they said the number one reason why is that they were tired of people, of the employees who engage them, making them feel stupid or fat or they don't look good or being ambivalent or ignoring them or letting them shop, letting them meander through stores without engaging them. Number one reason, okay? So it's sitting there. It's not the stuff. It's not the left brain stuff. Anyone, you, me, anybody, can buy stuff, put it on a shelf, hang up a shingle, and say, hey, buy junk, and I'll put a cash register at the end of it, bring it up, and I'll ring you up. That's why brick-and-mortar stores are struggling, because there is a mentality that that's all that needs to be done, and that's not all that needs to be done. You heard Greg talk about it at great length. We don't shop because we need pants. This is my contention. We don't shop because we need a new car. We don't shop because we have to go to the movies, because we need to do that. It's my belief that we shop. One of the prime reasons we go out to brick-and-mortar stores and do our shopping is because we want to be engaged. We want to feel connected. And Twittering and Facebooking and blogging and texting and just calling on the cell phone doesn't cut it for us. We want the flesh. We want the physical, emotional, smiling face engagement part of it, the handshake, the greeting by name, and the thanking at the end, and the greeting again, and the follow-up, and hey, let me get your address. I'll send you some stuff. We, We shop to socialize. That's got to be part of it. It is part of it. And stores that don't acknowledge that do so to their own detriment. That's part of our shopping experience. In fact, it may be the main part. I think you could easily argue that point. So, Peter, I appreciate the response. You can see that posted at the Unsecret Shopper blog. It's just been posted up this morning, his entire correspondence with me. Coming up, customer service quiz. See how much you know, smarty pants. I'll give you questions and then some answers to go along with them, which is kind of nice to get both of those. You are listening to the Unsecret Shopper radio show on 1350 KRNT.
Be glad there's one place in the world where everybody knows your name.
Names are everything. They're so important to us. When's the last time you were greeted by name at a store where you shopped? Or when's the last time you were checked out at the checkout counter and they used your name after seeing it on a credit card or whatever? You are listening to the Unsecret Shopper radio show. That's the name of the show. My name be Johnny Wright. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning at Gardner 855. Your weather forecast, well, it's a beaut. We've got a chance of sunshine and about a 100% chance of it all the way through, I believe. Where is my dealio dough? There, that's not the dealio dough. Let me just grab the, that's a different sheet. And this, well, that's someone else's sheet with somebody else's sheet on it, so to speak. Sunshine, but some occasional chances of rain. Like, for example, I believe this evening there's about a 20% chance, if I recall. Maybe that was tomorrow. Yeah, just sunshine throughout the weekend right now, 66. Let's take a look at some questions that can perplex you and mesmerize you in the form of the customer service quiz. This is taking all of the right brain stuff that we know instinctually as human beings and just, it's a retail date. It's just like any date. You go on a date, you smile, you engage, you greet, you shake hands, you kiss babies, you hug them, you know, the whole thing. We do that, that's dating, right? That's not certainly every date, but occasionally you get a date that way. Exactly in retail, except for the hugging and kissing. And even, listen, if you're in Turkey, they do it. That's what they do there, too, when you shop. They go all out. I don't even know how far it goes. I got out of there before I found that, you know, the end game of that whole thing. But part of that right brain stuff has a left brain contextual. There's rules and guidelines and stuff to follow. And that's what we teach with my company called the Biosphere, B-U-Y-O-S-P-H-E-R-E. So I posted this week some questions about customer service. For example, number one says there are four basic things that an employee should do when they encounter a patron, and yelling, screaming, and running the other way is not one of them. We refer to these as the four pillars of customer service. Name two of them. All right, well, we talked about those earlier this morning. That's a piece of cake. What are the four pillars of customer service? They are smile, greet, engage, and thank. There is a fifth. It is particularly dominant in certain big-ticket industries, boat sales, car sales, home sales, that is follow-up. Follow-up. And in order to follow up, what do you have to do? You got to have the person's information. How do I get a hold of you? But the truth is every store, no matter how small the transaction, should be striving to get the person's personal information and not just email addresses and not just phone numbers. That's old school, man. You know what's cutting edge? Your Facebook. What's your Facebook handle? What's your Twitter account handle? All of that. Do you have a blog? Can we correspond? You get all that stuff because there are so many portals into all of us, into the way we all communicate. And business owners, it behooves you. And I think that's twice now I've used that in this show, and I do qualify for a low-interest loan on my home. So get them all and then use them all to correspond and to befriend your customer base. Another question says, name the popular Doors song whose first line embodies elements of the four pillars of customer service, with one particular question that is almost never asked of customers by employees in a retail setting. I'll give you a moment to think about it. Okay, time's up. Can you? Yes. Yeah? Hello, I love you. Won't you tell me your name? Sure! Come on, people. I got a million of them. Of course it makes sense. We talk about names and the importance of it. And in the Des Moines Customer Service Survey, which is something you can take online, go to the Unsecret Shopper blog. But in that survey, 78% of us never hear our name uttered back to us in a retail connection, in a retail shopping environment. Shame on business owners and their employees. We should hear our name. It's the word that we hear more than any other word in our entire lives. We should hear it frequently in transactions when we're out and about shopping. Most of us know how to shake someone's hand, says question number three. There are some exceptions. Yet there's a more advanced, more powerful, more effective way for an employee to shake a customer's hand that we train for. Can you describe it? Now think about that. What's the standard way of shaking someone's hand? Well, okay, you reach out. Your palm, if you're a righty, is pointed to the left. All right, your palm is facing horizontally to the left. Okay, sure. I feel like, if you've ever shaken someone's hand, this is not the place to learn how on this show. There's guidelines, there's the internet. So you reach out and you shake their hand, right? Okay, it's simple. It's a simple process. What's the more advanced, more nurturing way to shake someone's hand? I'm going to show it to you. Listen, you're going to make more money on what I'm about to describe to you. You need to take notes. You need to take notes on what I'm going to tell you right now. This is a big deal. This can get you a long ways in life if you're not already. If John Ruan is listening, well, he's probably already shaking hands this way. You reach out, you engage, you shake the hand. You got it right, right? But then with your hand, you move your hand, turn your wrist to the right. Turn your wrist to the right. Your palm now would now be pointed upward. The person's hand that turned with yours, the top of their hand is now pointed upward. See that? See that in your hand, in your mind? All right. Now with your left hand, you come across and you put the palm of your left hand on top of the top of the person's right hand that you have grasped firmly in your right hand. Understand that? You shake, turn your wrist, their hand turns with you, bring the left hand over top of their right hand. What does that do? Why is that important? You hold it there. Now, I've done this in training sessions where insurance companies and in entire cities where I went through in city employees, and I've done this handshake, and invariably, one of the initial reactions is, I'm going to throw up, and not me, it's them. And the reason is that we're not used to that level of intimacy. It scares us. It doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means we're not used to it. And I contend to you that there was a time in our lives when we were not only used to it, we demanded it. We insisted on it. And that's when we were children. And more importantly, as infants. And somewhere along our line of the journey of our lives, between the time when we were bathed in touch by our mothers and fathers, hopefully if we had a great upbringing, they couldn't keep their hands off of us. They laughed and smiled, and we laughed and smiled right back at them, and it was touch, and it was touch, and it was touch, and we were just, the endorphins were snapping and synapses going boomity boom boom. The inside of our head looked like a lightning storm on the prairie in July. And then along the way, that started to change. We didn't get those warm fuzzies as much. And now as adults, well, we hardly get them at all in that way. Why? Because we're afraid to touch germs. And oh my gosh, I have people in training saying, I don't want to shake someone's hand. They're all covered in germs. I say, you know what? If that's the case, then wrap yourself in plastic before you come to work, baby. There's bubble wrap, there's Saran, whatever, all right? Go John Travolta and the employee in the plastic bubble, because there's germs everywhere. But yeah, engage. Turn that wrist. Put your hand over top of theirs. Touch. Touch is nurturing. It makes our endorphins fire off. It puts us in a happy place. And happy place and happy people is where we want to take our retail customers. We want to take them to the happy place. We don't want to do that one. We also don't want to do that one. That'll take too long. Here's a nice one to end the show with. Last customer service quiz question. When BP says there are 5,000 gallons a day leaking from the ruptured oil pipeline in the Gulf, but there's actually 247,102,594, it's a twisted example of this customer service principle. Mm-hmm. 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 Yes, the truth is that is under promise and over deliver is what BP is doing. So, in a real twisted way, they've kind of had a customer service. I doubt if that'll make us buy more gas at BP gas stations, but there you go. There's some of the questions. Customer Service Quiz 2 can be seen at the Unsecret Shopper blog, which you can Google search. Also, you got the Des Moines Customer Service Survey is in there. You've got just all kinds of stuff. Check it out this week and have a wonderful Memorial Day holiday. See you!
CBS News, I'm Sharon Middleman. Cramming mud and junk into that gushing oil well in the Gulf of Mexico? It's been going on for 4 days now. Is it working?
We occasionally hear that this is going well. We occasionally hear that it's too early to tell. I know everyone here in Grand Isle is hoping this works and keeping their fingers crossed, but there's just no definitive